Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome back to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. I clearly don't look in the mirror very often because I've got like a little mark on my neck. I'm like, camera for the Abroad Japan podcast. The only time I look at myself is when we're doing the Abroad Japan podcast. Is that weird?
Very good.
Unbelievable.
I mean, wow. You're so smart. You're so well dressed, though. You look like a 1960s talk show host in the slick hair. You definitely look in the mirror. Come off it. You're lying.
Not really. No. I'm dressed in a Mark Henry salmon suit. You're unfamiliar with the work of Mark Henry. I already know that, but he was a big sort of power lifter who became a wrestler, and he's a big guy. But he did a big retirement speech in the ring, and he's wearing this beautiful salmon number. And I have been for years trying to find this beautiful salmon suit so I could look as good as Mark Henry, Sexual Chocolate. And he body slams John Cena. He pretends that he's retiring, and then John Cena goes to shake his hands, and then he slams him, and he's back, and he's going to have a fight with John Cena. So that's basically what's happening here. I'm trying to look like Mark Henry, Sexual Chocolate. And Chris, you're unfamiliar about what Mark Henry looks like. I think we look quite similar to those of you in the know.
Really? I really wish I knew my wrestling. I watched a little bit over the Christmas holidays and it was kind of cool. I just don't see the appeal in the sense that it's all acting, right? Extreme acting with extreme pain, I imagine. But you've got to admire the dedication to it. And obviously it takes incredible skill to be able to do what they do and all the stunts. You know.
We still need to get you to a wrestling match. Obviously, in Japan, it's because you've not really done anything sumo-y, have you? And I think Connor's sort of flirted with a bit of training with DDT and Chris Brooks and co. But I think we will have to get you to a wrestling match sooner rather than later because it's a world that is bloody interesting when you start. It's a very strange everyman sport, I think. And you look at the crowds in Tokyo and beyond, and it's skewed so female, so surprisingly female, and so kind of like salaryman, salarywomen, just kind of watching their match, watching people doing the stuff. It kind of ties in with idol culture. It ties in with nightlife. It ties in with theatre. It ties in with all of these kind of like touchstones that you talk about in your videos and stuff. So we will have to get you to a wrestling match sooner rather than later.
Well, I know Natsuki's a big fan as well. So if I was going to go with anyone, I'd take him along. He'd probably love it. But he could tell you who everyone is. He knows his stuff. Natsuki's a man who knows a lot more than he lets on about life, not just wrestling. Have you... say a country, he can reel off the most popular 20 artists of that country. Doesn't matter where it is in the world, from Mozambique to Nicaragua, you say the country, he'll be like, oh, Terry Johnson, or he'll bash it out.
I would very much like to just shout the word Mozambique at Natsuki and see what comes out.
I reckon
love,
he could do it.
I'd love that.
I reckon he could do it.
Oh, why don't you do that? Just for me. Next time you see him, just get him in a room and just list all of the countries in Africa, Europe, Australasia, just wherever. And I want to have like a one word reaction to every single country. And let's see who we can offend.
Republic of Congo, Venezuela, Tanzania. I'd love to do that. That'd be great. He will surprise us. He will surprise. He is a man who knows his geography.
That's surprising. People is very much in his wheelhouse. That's all he does. The man, his charm is just pulling a reference out of his bum that we just did not know was in there. Effectively, he's great.
He's incredible. He really is. I do wonder. This year, I had this idea on the back burner for years now. We were dangerously close to doing it before COVID kicked off. And it was like Natsuki's bucket list. And it was, we're going to travel the world and do these crazy, wacky things on Natsuki's bucket list with a little bit of tweaking, because Natsuki's bucket list is questionable. It's literally, I want to go to Camden and buy a guitar. And it's like, we're not going to London to buy a guitar.
I want to shoot an elephant. Oh, you're the worst, Natsuki.
It was very. I did ask him once. It was very obscure. He was like, "I want to go Czech Republic and have beer," and it's like, "Oh, it could be cool, bit random.
Yeah,
don't know if there's video potential, but why not? You know, could be fun."
Yeah.
So, but then COVID happened and we couldn't travel. And but I have been thinking about it recently because, you know, I think the most popular episodes on Journey Across Japan were the ones with Natsuki. He's still very popular. He made the island video hilarious with his quips and his weird dressing up as Black Santa, whatever that is. he just pulls things out of the hat that you don't expect. That sounds really dodgy. But he's a man of many talents. And I think it'll be good. Natsuki's bucket list, Journey Across the World, Natsuki's bucket list. What do you reckon? Should we do it, Pete?
Yeah, no, I think whatever. I mean, obviously from here, the Czech Republic, you know, Prague seems like an easy trip because it's, you know, it's where everyone goes on their stag do's. But like from here, it's kind of like easy jetable. But is there kind of like, is there a Japanese kind of low cost airline that gets you to Eastern Europe quite easily?
No, there isn't. No,
there isn't. Right.
Turkish Airlines? I don't know. Yeah, no.
Changing,
I mean, even ANA, the windows are cracking, aren't they? The window cracked this week on an ANA Boeing airplane, a 737-800. I think
Boeing's had a bloody
week. We didn't come in to discuss Boeing.
Boeing's had a time of it.
Yeah.
Did you see that they found like an iPhone that had fallen out the window of one of the planes? Like, you know, the planes with the door that popped off. They found
The Alaska Airlines flight.
Yeah, and they found an iPhone in someone's garden and it was still working absolutely fine. Amazing.
Find his keepers. Did he or she get to keep it?
I don't think so. I think they'd probably get a free iPhone maybe out of it.
It's a real shame. I didn't come here to discuss Boeing, but I had a weird obsession with planes as a kid. I could look up at the sky and be like, oh, it's a Boeing 737-300. Oh, it's a jumbo. Oh, it's Concorde. To be fair, that's not hard to work out if it's Concorde or a jumbo jet. But you get the idea.
I think you know it's Concorde, planes. Don't you? I suppose.
It's Concorde, isn't it? Wow, he's a genius. How can he work that out? The two loudest Olympus engines in the world, deafening the whole neighbourhood. But like, I loved airplanes and Boeing, great company. And then they stopped being good. And now, you know, the old phrase, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going. Now it's, if it's Boeing, fuck going. Because lots of things seem to be going wrong. I think I watched a great documentary on it. Apparently Boeing, they moved their global headquarters from where all the engineers are in Everett, in Washington State, near Seattle, our beloved Seattle. And they moved to Chicago and it became like a corporate financial money first approach over engineering, which obviously ended very badly with the 737 MAX planes. But yeah, real shame these things keep happening. Cracked windscreen on an ANA flight. ANA do a really good job looking after their fleet typically. They're like one of the world's few 5-star rated carriers. Nothing seems to ever go wrong on ANA, touch wood. And so the crack is very suspicious, and it was only found, you know, a week after this door fell off another just what are they doing? Boeing, sort it out. Boeing.
Was it a cracked window in the in the actual windscreen, or was it just a window down the side of the fuselage?
That's a good question. I think it was in the cockpit, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Perilous. What if a bird pops in?
It says, ANA Boeing 737-800 flight turns back due to cockpit window crack. Now, obviously, something could have come off the runway and chipped it or whatever, but it comes at a time when, you know, airlines around the world are checking their planes, a different model of plane, albeit, to see if anything's going wrong. It's all just very bad. To Airbus's delight, I'm sure, because they're probably going to do quite well out of this. But real shame. Mm. But enough about Boeing, enough about ANA. We got a story this week from John, who says, "Dear charming Chris and Positive Pete, warm greetings from Singapore. I've been a devoted fan and recently became a podcast aficionado, relishing every moment." Thank you very much, John. "My family and I are seasoned Japan explorers, spanning the picturesque landscape from sunny Okinawa to the snowy embrace of Hokkaido. However, let me whisk you away to one of our earlier escapades in Hokkaido amidst the relatively more remote regions. And keep in mind that as this happened nearly a decade ago, Google Translate had yet to become the linguistic savior that it is today." That's true, actually. When my friends are over for Journey Across Japan, Dave, Ellen, the team, everyone's so reliant on Google Translate now. And I was amazed, because usually the menus at restaurants every night, they're usually impenetrable kanji. And they would like bring out the Ian, good old Ian. He'd come out with his phone. He'd take a photo on Google Translate, flip it all to English, and send it out to the team at the restaurant there and then. God bless Ian. What a great man. What do we do before Google Translate?
What did we do before Ian? That's the question.
What did we do before Ian? We cried. We sat in a room and cried. Anyway, armed with the trusty JR pass to traverse the island, we assumed boarding the JR bus would be a breeze, much like the trains. To our bewilderment, though, the bus driver shook his head adamantly, asserting that the pass wasn't valid for me, as I was no longer a child, even though I was only 10 years old that year. So, there we were, playing a curious game of pointing at the pass, then at my passport, followed by wild gesticulation and the repetition of 10 years old to plead our case. In spite of our best efforts, the bus captain remained resolute. At this point, we were worried about being nuisances, so we reluctantly coughed up the extra fare and begrudgingly boarded, sulking all the way. Have either of you ever encountered a situation where the locals refused to believe your age? And what, in your charming opinion, would have been the best course of action in the bus conundrum? Love the podcast. 10-year-old John, presumably now about 20. What a weird situation. I know, like, in Japan, people don't check your age at all when it comes to alcohol, cigarettes, naughtiness, all that stuff. Clearly, they care if you're young. But, like, when Charlotte and I go to the UK, she gets ID'd at everything we do, which I don't understand why. She doesn't look that young. She looks good for her age. Don't get me wrong. She doesn't look 18 years old.
No.
She doesn't look 18, right? But in Japan, never had an ID issue. Nobody cares. So that's quite interesting that they get quite anal about, you know, if you're 10 years or younger or whatever. What do you make of this, Pete? What's going on? Was it just an annoying bus driver playing by the rules too hard?
Yeah, I mean,
what do you make of it?
With stuff like that, it's... I think it, like, passes like that are just so confusing anyway. I mean, I would probably just pay the difference anyway at the outset. But like, those passes are so confusing anyway. I mean, I'm not surprised that the bus driver. I think the bus driver has every right to just sort of just give up and just sort of go, "Oh, just get on the bus. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to find out. This is all paper based. I just get on the bus. I can't be." Yeah. But in Japan, they are sticklers for what is right and what is true, and what is written on a piece of paper in front of them. As you well know, as a man who recently tried to extract some money out of a bank, Chris.
Yes, yeah, horrible, horrible episode. Yeah, don't ever do banking in Japan. It'll drive you up the wall. I mean, in contrast to that, though, this guy, a stickler for the rules. And then there was the man at Shinjuku Park who was too scared to ask the foreigners for money. And he cost the park something like $200,000. Or they realise that, wait a minute, why are all the foreigners going through that booth? Why is there no revenue for this period of months?
And he got taken he lost his pension over it, sadly, as well. Yeah.
Yeah, all a bit weird, isn't it? How he was too scared to ask foreigners for money at the entrance. Mm. That is still, after all the years of doing the podcast, one of the more baffling stories that we've had. I think my favourite podcast story... We should do like a podcast super... Go through the stories. Yeah, like a best of like weird travel stories. It's not a travel story, it's a news story. And it was the story of the convenience store manager who tried to rob their own store using a face mask and a silly voice. And it was like, it's like me going, oh, give me the money, Pete. And they were like, wait a minute, is that you, Takeshi? And he went, yeah, it's me, it was a test. What a story. That is still, I'd love to make a short film of that. The world's
and
most bodged robbery.
And he didn't get away with it because he basically said it was a test and none of them believed him. So the thing that got me was that he must have exhibited some very bizarre behaviour outside of this sorry little tableau. But he must have been an absolute nightmare to work with usually anyway.
Honestly, I want to find that man, do an interview. That'll be the documentary of the year on Abroad in Japan. What do you call that? The man that robbed his own life. Like, oh God, it's just confusion. Anyway, confusion. But we've been talking about planes in this episode, and today's news story actually revolves around planes and stress. Japanese travellers apparently feel more stressed than other countries sitting next to strangers on planes. To be honest, I feel stressed just being on a plane in general recently, with all these cracks and all these doors falling out. Pete, tell us what's going on. Tell us about the story of the week.
Well, I think we sort of think in the West of, like, who would you say like was the most like air ragey country? It's the US. There's always videos because they fly more than anyone else. And there's always a video of someone flipping out, being racist, having a fist fight, doing a poo, like doing something mad on the plane because they're stressed out and they're overwrought and they're tired and all that stuff. But I mean, quite apart from the scene at Luton Airport at 6 o'clock in the morning where everyone loses their goddamn mind.
The UK is not much better,
Well, exactly. I mean, the British, we're just not, we don't fly enough. We're not great travellers. Half of us don't have passports. And we are constantly, we get to a provincial airport. We get to a local airport and we just lose our minds. We try to take our trousers off to get through the x-ray machines. We bring massive kind of tubs of margarine through. You're not allowed the big tub of margarine, but I want to bring through the... I have to give the margarine to... Everyone just loses their minds whenever they're faced with anyone, you know, administering any kind of rules in the sphere of air travel. But travel provider Expedia decided to take a look at the stressors involved with travel, not for any, as before, altruistic reason, just that they want to, you know, have people like us mention it in their podcasts because we've mentioned travel provider Expedia there, haven't we? They conducted a survey of travellers from 11 countries or regions and found that Japanese travellers, more than any other group in the survey, said they feel stressed out by sitting next to a stranger on an aeroplane. And 26% of Japanese respondents basically said about air travel, the most stressful thing is sitting next to someone I don't know. Maybe the Japanese probably don't fly as much as anyone else. They have an excellent transport links in, you know, inter-country. But being on an airplane for a lot of Japanese people means spending a long time sitting next to someone they may not be able to effectively communicate with should they need to, I don't know, get up and go to the bathroom, help retrieve a dropped item, etc. So maybe there's like a language barrier as well. So it's kind
we're talking
like
international flights, right?
Mainly
Japanese folks traveling overseas.
So, But they are also least likely by far in the whole world to get into actual squabbles with people. So there's people who get really angry. I'm sort of thinking, like, has there been like a flight that you've done, apart from that one where you flew over that big active volcano, that has stressed you out more than others? Like, has there been someone next to you that stressed you out? Have you stressed someone out?
Anyone there's like a kid screaming next to me. My flight after the... After I finished the JET program after 3 years, I went back to the UK for a little bit. And my flight, the school really screwed me over. The school pays for your flight, right? And my friend was like, oh, yeah, my school got me like British Airways, premium economy. It's going to be great, man. What did you get? And I got economy, Aeroflot, indirect via Moscow, worst flight of my life, terrifying staff. The woman on the air stewardess, she threw the drinks at people, just threw it at people. There was a baby in front of me screaming consistently. It was kind of impressive, really. It just didn't stop for about 9 hours. And there was a French girl the aisle over just looking so angry. And I kind of, that made me laugh. I was like, I'm suffering, but so is she. We're all in this together, but it's quite funny laughing at that. And and then when there's turbulence on an aeroflot plane, it makes it seem like it's the end of the world. Like, usually, the seatbelt sight comes on, it goes ding, and the sign comes on, you're like, oh, I better buckle up, whatever. On aeroflot, this like really scary, just danger, turbulence is approaching, be very careful. And it was like this fucking big voice, scary voice came out, and it made it like seem things were going to go awfully wrong. Didn't like that flight. And then I got to Moscow, and it was a brand new airport terminal, so I thought, I'll be great. And then I had no Russian money with me, my credit cards didn't work, I had no access to funds, and I was starving, and I just couldn't eat anything, I couldn't do anything. I just wandered back and forth across this weird terminal where there was only one toilet for like 20,000 people. There was a queue for the women's toilet so long, it was like a fucking football stadium length queue. It's just awful. It's really bad.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with Japan either, does it? it was awful.
You thought it was in the height of the Cold War, so you brought Beatles records and denims. So you're like, oh, it's fine. Absolutely fine.
Brought a Sting album. I actually read an interesting article the other day about the most turbulent flights on the planet. And actually, one of the top 10 most turbulent flights was Sendai to Osaka. Which I've done many a time, and it is turbulent because it's quite a small plane that goes over Mount Fuji and the Japanese Alps, which are quite bumpy. But I didn't know this, but Japan actually has some of the worst turbulence in the world, and that might explain why I don't like flying, because it is pretty bad. Like, it's quite a very hot, humid country. That heat rising, it causes a lot of turbulence, and the turbulence I've had here has been just terrifying. It's just horrible. So maybe that's why I don't like flying, And being in the Cessna over Sakurajima volcano certainly didn't help either. But what I will say is Japanese passengers are amazing. They get on the plane, they sit down, they fall asleep. Magic, done. No talking, no conversation. And I remember the most sort of scary turbulence I've had. I remember just looking around at everyone. Everyone was asleep. And I'm like clutching onto the chair, like, we're going to die. And everyone's just like, shh. And I'm like, how can they sleep through this? How can everyone be so calm? My God, such faith in airplanes. Clearly, they've never flown on a Boeing 737 MAX when the fucking doors fall out. Honestly. But yeah, bumpy ride. If you don't like turbulence, get ready for Japan. Flying over Japan. In it. I mean, have you ever had a turbulent flight like that?
No, I would say that the only kind of really, I find I'm little, and I don't mind, just sort of falling asleep for as long as I can. I prefer a window seat, so I'm out of trouble. But I remember coming to New York one time, and I was going to do a little kind of Atlanta, Nashville, New Orleans, kind of little sort of, you know, Greyhound bus trip with a mate. And the day before, I'd come home a bit worse for wear, and I made myself a pot noodle. But the pot noodle lid, sort of at the last minute, flapped closed as I was pouring the boiling water on, and it basically boiling water just poured in its entirety onto my foot. That just had a sock on, and I should have, like, looking back. I can still see it now on my foot, and that was like 7 years ago. I should have probably gone to hospital because there was no skin there anymore.
Really, that bad.
It was a really deep burn. And so it was just almost immediately massive blister, like a big globy blister, which, because it was massive and it was on my foot, it just instantly burst. It was disgusting. Anyway, I rallied, sort of, you know, covered it in as much burn cream as I could and wrapped up as best I could. And of course, like in that situation, you want it to sort of dry out a little bit. So I sort of just had these kind of like, it was the era of the ballet pump in Donaldson World. I was wearing like white ballet pumps. And I sort of had them on the flight, and I was sat next to a Hasidic Jewish family, basically.
Right.
And the mum was very like, very nervous flyer, I think. And she was before the flight, she was ringing everyone, sort of saying, I love
this
you
is it.
To everyone. And
oh,
stuff,
my Lord.
Quite interesting. And, but I basically fell asleep for almost the entirety of the flight. And I woke up, but because of the pressure, my foot another blister had formed.
No.
That was like the size of like, I don't know, like, you know, those big gobstoppers you get, those giant gobstoppers. Like, it was absolutely massive. And I looked down and it was almost as if, as soon as I looked down, something happened to it and it just poof, exploded.
Oh, fuck.
Just full of water, just poof, like a big carrier bag full of water.
No.
And it went all up her leg.
Oh, my
and
God.
At the same time, I had a bottle of water, and I sort of pretended to spill that bottle of water so she didn't think that I just... It's a hate crime. It's a 10,000 miles in the air hate crime against a protected group. So, yeah, I was just like... little did she know that her scary plane trip was about to get even scarier as my
bloody
foot
hell.
Burst on her. Absolutely grim.
Well, I'm glad I'm not flying. I'm not going to fly next to you before. I'm not going to fly next to you ever again.
I should have been sucked out the window. Horrible,
that's
man. Not my fault. Noodle, delicious, but deadly.
I feel thoroughly disgusted, and I want to retreat to the fax machine. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine. My God.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson? Hopefully a story that's not quite as bad as that. My God.
Well, that's going to be the texter for next week. Have you ever spilled fluid on someone?
Your foot ever exploded? Yeah.
No, have you ever exploded on someone? Hey, Chris and Pete, Liz and Hugh here from Australia. Big Japan lovers and... I don't know if it's like big Japan lovers or they're just big lovers in Japan. Who knows? And long-time followers of the Bron Japan YouTube channel. We want to know what the heck the sand-flavoured foods we keep seeing in 7-Eleven and other konbinis. For example, butter sand tree biscuits and sand-flavoured yakitoris, etc. Even after extensive Googling, we're none the wiser and more curious to know what this mysterious sand flavour is. Please help. Thank you. We love you and all of your epic videos. Now, we didn't read ahead on this one. Do you know what the sand flavour is that seems to be all over this kombini food?
Well, it's like there's often food like baked sand, right, in stores in Japan. And on the surface, it looks like a terrifying food item straight out of a desert. Alas, it's just a shortening of the word sandwich. So sand is just, you know, sandwich.
Right.
So
I see. I see.
And, you know, baked butter sand tree, which is, does sound ridiculous, I'm not going to lie. It's just a, you know, like a custard cream, two biscuits with a bit of cream. Yeah, it's good. I don't know what the sand-flavoured yakitori is, though. That probably is just yakitori draped in sand, just smeared in sand. down at a beach in Enoshima. Someone getting out of hand with their yakitori skewers. That sounds wrong. Yeah. But, yeah, don't worry. It's not sand for the most part. It's just a sandwich. Thank you very much, Liz and Hugh. We got one here from Darren, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. In a recent episode on Abroad Japan, Chris visited the Aoyama Shrine, which was dedicated to the Lord of the Maida clan." Yes, I love that was in Kanazawa. Lovely old place. I think the Aoyama Shrine, I saw some footage of it recently because it was near the earthquake in the Noto Peninsula, and I saw it like rocking really badly. But I think it came out unscathed for the most part. This got me wondering about the clans in Japan and how relevant they are today. Do they still exist? And do they still have any power or influence? Are they similar to the Scottish clans with a clan leader that is alive today? Or is it part of Japanese culture that is lost to time? Would be really interesting to hear. Love the show and podcast. I watch them in the morning before I go to work. Keep up the good work, Darren, in Nuneaton, UK. Thank you very much, Darren. Interestingly, though, the... my friend, who I work with here in Tokyo, he saw the same video, the Aoyama Shrine, the Maida clan, and he was like, "Oh, I'm friends with the Maida clan, the guy that inherited it all." And he went, they worked together at like Mitsubishi or something. And he's like this young guy, he's in his 40s, and he just runs the family business. I can't remember what the business was. It might have been food or something. But yeah, the pressure must be immense, right? You're born into this wealthy family, going back, you know, 500, 600 years, in the case of the Maida clan. They're very well known throughout Japan. They used to be the richest clan in Japan, I believe. And now it's just all on you. And you have to go to lots of ceremonies, I think, and do lots of rituals and things. It's probably kind of cool. And he probably inherited an awful lot of money, probably in the tens of millions. But they do still exist. And they do often have to represent the family for certain things. But yeah, apparently he's nice. He's a nice guy. We should go and interview him, actually. Could be cool. What do you do,
Mitsubishi,
mate? he doesn't work in Mitsubishi anymore. It's kind of a thing, like, it's kind of like the, you know, Boston Consulting of Japan. You go to Mitsubishi, you go to a good big university, get a Mitsubishi, get it on your CV, and then you go and do something good. But it could be cool, though. Could be good to meet the Maida clan dude. Could be fun. Find out what's going on. Find out what's going on.
What's your kind of clan? What's your Kent clan? Are you kind of going to be inheriting the great Robot Wars clan of your father? the Robot Wars craftsman of Kent?
I think I'll probably inherit a mountain of debt from Robot Wars and all the money spent on that stupid fucking robot from 20 years ago, which I don't think exists anymore, sadly. Yes, I don't have a clan. I want to make a clan. Let's make a clan. I don't know how you do it, but I want to do it.
Well, people have like modern day kind of like esports clans, don't they? That's the new form of clan.
Could I rebrand the Abroad Japan following into a clan? Would that work, Pete? What
broaden
would,
a clan
what would I have to do?
Broaden
a clan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite good. I hate that. That is good. Abroad in a clan. We got one last question here, from Kevin. He says, "This is a question for Peter." Oh. No, I'm left out of this one. So I don't read out questions if they're only aimed at Pete. Kevin from Colorado, and he says, "I enjoy rock climbing and mountaineering. Does Japan have an avid rock climbing?"
Yes, they do. Sorry, I'm just checking my email.
Aimed at you. Does Japan have rock climbing that you're aware of? If so, which prefectures are must visits for the adventurous climbers? Thank you, Mr. Donaldson. I'm not gonna answer this. You handle
no,
it.
No, No, allow me. I mean, although a lot of people, Chris, traveling to Japan will come for the temples of Kyoto or the flashing lights of Tokyo or the allure of Mount Fuji. But there are actually, Chris, countless reasons why climbing in Japan is a special experience. renting a car is recommended for a lot of the areas because they're kind of off the beaten track. Hearing good things about Mizugaki and Ogawayama. It's just the vast expanse of granite. Just a few hours drive from Tokyo. A lot of boulders kicking around. But I do a lot of my climbing in the Chichibu Tamakai National Park. Their access and lodging points really are beyond reproach. So
there you go, Kevin.
Your question.
Kevin? You asked the right man here. Yeah. To be fair, I don't know anything about rock climbing. I do want to do a bit more mountaineering and hiking this year. I'm not going to tell you where I want to go now because it wasn't aimed at me. I get out of this one.
No.
I get a free pass.
No,
you only get Pete Dawson.
I don't think you should be allowed out doing any outdoors things with your tent, your big cold tent.
Oh, well. God, didn't end well last time, did it? Maybe never again. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or down in the comments below on YouTube. For now, guys, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Have yourself a good few days. Bye for now. Rock climbing expert.
Bye.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.